Break Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bate in Washington. Today is Tuesday, July 4th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Senegal's President Macky Sall will now seek a third term, a decision that is in line with the country's constitution.
The difficulty, in my view, will be for the ruling party to identify somebody who will be willing to replace Macky Sall because they are not unified.
A Senegalese opposition leader says he will seek the presidency in 2024. Nigeria warns its citizens against consuming animal hides following an outbreak of anthrax. MONSAP, the Movement for the Survival of the Goni People, calls on Nigerian President Bola Tinubu to investigate what the group calls mismanagement of the Ogoni cleanup funds.
The best thing we just have to do is to ask the new government to review all of this and look into how the finances of the cleanup have been managed, because its activities are not transparent.
And today, July 4th, is U.S. Independence Day. We'll speak with an American of African descent about the meaning of the day. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Senegalese President Macky Sall says he will not seek a third term. He made the announcement on Monday evening in a nationwide speech. The president's delay in making his decision has been a source of political tension and protests for months. Ibrahim Makan is a Senegalese political analyst. He says the political battle cry in Senegal will now move from no third term for Macky Sall to the question of whether opposition leader Ousmane Sonko will be allowed to participate in the 2024 presidential election. Sonko faces two court cases, which the opposition says are politically motivated. Analyst Khan also says it remains to be seen whether the ruling party can find a candidate to replace President Sall. But he tells me that President Sall's Monday night speech puts the interests of the nation first.
I've been watching the president for many years. This year is the 12 years of presidency. But this is the first time that I've heard the President Macky Sall speaking as a real head of state. He started by telling the population that he was really sad for the people who died, who lost their lives for the event that happened at the beginning of June, sent his condolences to the family, said that they are doing inquiries for what happened, who did it, and have an estimation of the loss, and they will compensate individual companies and so and so. And then he went on talking about the need for Senegal to remain a democratic country, for Senegal to remain a society that is united, and Senegal to really do everything to avoid violence. He then talked about the next election, the fact that there are political parties who agreed to go in a dialogue.
Now that the president says he's not going to run again, what does the political landscape look like for Senegal?
Well, I think it will be open. Of course, the difficulty, in my view, will be for the ruling party to identify somebody who will be willing to replace Macky Sall, because they are not unified. There are many political parties. And the fact that Macky Sall was just alone, there was no possible candidate up to now, that will make difficult for them to identify a political actor. Now, Abdoulaye Wade's son and Khalifa Sall, definitely they will be candidates for the next election. And the question mark will be the participation of Ousmane Sonko. You know, he has cases against him. Those two cases have not yet been completed. One is at the Supreme Court. The other one is just at the appeal stage. That means that we know few candidates, but we don't know all the candidates. So that's the question mark that we have at the moment for the next election. And I'm sure now the battle is no longer no third term for Macky Sall. The battle will be either or. Ousmane Sonko will participate to the election. And I think the fact that the president said that they will do inquiry for what happened, they will take the author, the complicit and other actors to justice, mean that, I don't know, they will go after those who were behind the June turmoil. So maybe they will go after Sonko's party. But I see things changing now drastically. And now the issue will be for the next election is Sonko going to participate or not? That will be the question mark.
And that's what I want to ask you. That even though the president in his speech sounds reconciliatory, the Sonko people have said all along that they think that the charges against him were politically motivated. Is it possible that these charges could be dropped or they are going to go through the legal process?
Yeah, I think today's speech has radically changed the perception that people had on Macky Sall. And I think what he said, and because he also wants to end up with a legacy for this country, he may be willing to reconsider all the charges against Sonko.
Ibrahim Makan is the Senegalese political analyst. He was speaking with us from the capital, Dakar. In Senegal, a member of the opposition that has led protests against possible third term for President Macky Sall says now that the president has decided not to seek a third term, the opposition will now focus on the 2024 presidential election. Mamadou Lamine Diallo is president of Senegal's National Assembly. He is also president of the opposition Citizenship Empowerment for Social Responsibility. He tells me that he will seek the presidency on his platform of institutional reform and tackling unemployment in Senegal.
There are two things, I think, which are different, and I must clarify that from the onset. The political issue in Senegal is to know if President Macky Sall will respect the constitution from our point of view, which for us, as I mentioned several times, is very clear that now in Senegal, a president cannot run for more than two mandates. That was the position we had in 2011 with Macky Sall himself when he was in the opposition. We were together against President Abdoulaye Wade. And that's why we had some protests regarding this issue. That one is settled today. He has said very clearly that he will not run next year. So there is no reason to protest for that. The other problem that you're mentioning is the court problem of President Sonko or President Sonko of PASTEF. He is now, as you know, he has two cases in justice. The last one is the issue of rape that he was accused. And then finally, you know that the judge said there was no rape, but it was some kind of corruption of youth. And that one, Sonko was saying that if the government should not put him in jail with this last trial, and if ever they want to put him in jail, then he will ask his people to protest. That's the situation right now.
Are you going to wait until the court process ends? Because right now, it's not clear whether Mr. Sonko can run for president because he has a legal problem. What are you going to do?
You're right. He has a legal problem. What we have said from the beginning, that we want an open election, whereby who wants to run can run. As far as we are concerned, I am a candidate in next year and I will prepare to run for election. Now that Macky Sall is clearly saying that he's not run, there is no reason to put like what we have at that time against President Wade. It was M23. We had set up a coalition with the civil society at that time in 2011. And now we had also put something like F24. Which was meant, of course, to struggle against a certain candidate of President Macky Sall. That issue is now behind us. So as far as we are concerned, as the president of Tekki, and I will run for election, I will continue to ask for an open election, of course. But as a matter of fact, now from now on, we'll be focused on our own election and our own program, which, as I said, is an institutional reform. We need institutional reform in Senegal. As I said, the president has too much power. There is no check and balance, and that's the big issue that we have. And second issue is the issue of unemployment. We have to do something to launch the industrialization of Senegal. That's what we need to create jobs for the young people. And that's the two pillars of my program that I will present to the people of Senegal.
Mamadou Lamine Diallo is president of the Senegal National Assembly. He is also president of the opposition Citizenship Empowerment for Social Responsibility. He was speaking with us from the Senegalese capital, Dakar.
In Nigeria, the president of the Movement for the Survival of the Ogoni People, also known as MOSAB, is calling on President Bola Ahmed Tinubu to investigate what he calls the mismanagement of the Ogoni cleanup funds, totaling about $800 million. MOSAB President Figalo Ntsuki is also calling on President Tinubu to dissolve all governing structures of the hydrocarbon pollution remediation project because he says it has been pillaged. It was established to manage the environmental degradation in Ogoni land and other impacted communities. Figalo Ntsuki tells me that President Tinubu should dissolve the body and probe its finances.
Basically, we are calling on the president to review and to order a probe into the activities of the cleanup because we all saw the UNEP reports and it wasn't ambiguous at all about the guideline on what to do. First of all, the report specified some very critical areas, which included high level of water pollution, and recommended that the issue of water should be treated as an emergency. They needed to give attention to water, to guiding the people that are living in those polluted areas so that people do not, you know, get direct contact with this contamination. And also, we told them that they needed to address the issue of getting a laboratory available so that they can test what they are doing. Now, what the previous governments did is to ignore all of the issues of water provision, ignore the issues of assessing the state of people's health, ignore the issues of dealing with compensation for livelihood losses. And then they now started awarding ambiguous contracts to companies that were not even qualified for the cleanup. Companies that were initially formed for the purpose of supplying palm oil were getting pollution remediation contracts, and they were not competent to handle it. The other thing that actually strikes us is that 3 weeks to the expiration of the tenure of the last government, the government awarded a contract worth about 180 billion naira. Now, after the award of those contracts, 3 weeks later, the minister is gone. So the board that should be managing the entire cleanup exercise is gone. There is really no structure in place to manage the funds. The proposals are, they change the project coordinator, so everything is in a mess. So the best thing we just had to do is to ask the new government to review all of this and look into how the finances of the cleanup have been managed.
So you are calling for the dissolution of this hydrocarbon pollution remediation project. Why?
Yes, because its activities are not transparent. They are not going by the recommendations of the UNEP. And what we are seeing, in fact, what bothers us most is that we have been to the sites ourselves and have seen that the cleanup is not done appropriately. And so the best thing we think should happen is not just a dissolution, but a probe into their activities. And for funds that have been looted, we should have them refunded. We should have people who have mismanaged this process to be punished for what they have done.
When you say that mismanagement of over $800 million, I mean, that's a big allegation. Can you defend that?
Yes, we know it's in excess of $800 million because the National Assembly, Nigeria's National Assembly, had invited the cleanup agency to explain this whole thing several times. And they told the government at the time that they have received about $600 million and that Shell was to pay the remaining $200 million the following year, which was, that year was 2020. So we know that they have received well over $800 million during this period. And it's so disturbing that they've made this huge expenditure and people cannot get as simple as clean water to drink.
Figalo Ntsuki is the president of the Movement for the Survival of the Ogoni People, also known as MOSAB. He was speaking with us from Bori in Ogoni land. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, July 4th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Following an outbreak of anthrax in Ghana, Nigerian authorities have urged citizens to halt consumption of cooked animal hides, a delicacy also known as pomo. Gibson Emeka has this story from Abuja, Nigeria, and narrated by Salim Solomon.
Modesta Oluchukwu, a Nigerian mother of four, is a skilled home cook. Her shopping list always contains food made of cowhide and other skins. Locals call it pomo. But Oluchukwu says she has cut down on her favorite protein amid a heightened fear of anthrax, which broke out in northern Ghana, which borders Togo and Burkina Faso. Nigerian health experts are already sounding the alarm that cowhide can carry potentially deadly bacteria.
I've not stopped eating pomo. I'm still using pomo, but not always. Because sometimes beef meat used to be expensive, but pomo will be more cheaper. So I have to go for pomo.
Anthrax is found in wild and domestic hoofed animals. Humans are usually exposed to it through handling animals or animal hides. Untreated, it could cause severe illness and even death. The risk of infection is high in Nigeria, where animal hides are a cultural delicacy. Since the outbreak in Ghana, the Nigerian government is doubling efforts to prevent the disease from gaining entrance, says Dr. Regina Adunugba, the Federal Capital Territory Director of Veterinary Services.
We trade with Ghana, so the possibility of coming is very high. Coming to Nigeria is very high, so we need to promptly alert the stakeholders, the livestock dealers, the butchers.
Jabril Mohammed, a cowhide trader, says the demand for pomo in local markets has begun to slow since the government's warning.
I noticed that people have reduced buying pomo, not like before. I think in the last 2-3 weeks now, the patronage is a little bit low now.
Anthrax symptoms include mild cough, fever, muscle aches, and severe lung problems. Although no case has been recorded in Nigeria yet, Dr. Ejeke Orji, who speaks on public health matters, has called for caution.
To make sure that people are fully aware and preventive, this thing they should take. And most importantly, to advise people not to eat bush meats and pomo.
Anthrax spore vaccine is the cheapest and easiest way to prevent the disease in livestock. The government is urging farmers to inoculate their animals to prevent the disease from establishing itself in the country. For Gibson Emeka in Abuja, Nigeria, Salim Solomon, VOA News.
The Reuters news agency says a naval fleet of China's People's Liberation Army arrived in Nigeria on Sunday. The Chinese ambassador to Nigeria called the five-day visit a milestone in ties, while the Nigerian Navy said it is willing to work with Beijing to tackle maritime security threats and maintain stability in the Gulf of Guinea. Reuters notes that some speculate that the region could serve as a potential base for Chinese military. China opened its first overseas naval base in Djibouti in Northeast Africa in 2017, part of an effort that some analysts see as an effort to set up regional logistics facilities on the continent. China has widened its influence in Africa with investment, trade, and loans. Angola and Nigeria are among China's top oil suppliers. Kenyan President William Ruto has announced that he is lifting a nearly six-year ban on logging. He says the move is aimed at creating jobs for youth and opening up sectors of the economy that rely on forestry products. He says, quote, "We cannot have mature trees rotting in forests while locals suffer due to lack of timber." But the French news agency AFP says Greenpeace Africa is warning of catastrophic environmental consequences. It says it will put the forests at the mercy of illegal logging driven by profit and sawmillers who have no regard for the consequences. Greenpeace notes that since the ban, progress has been made in protecting forests, which are also a source of food and medicine. But President Ruto says he remains committed to the fight against climate change and to plant 15 billion trees over 10 years.
Today, July 4th, is U.S. Independence Day. Americans celebrate the passing of the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain by the Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776. The occasion will be celebrated today throughout the nation with fireworks, parades, and parties. Nequita Ricks is a Liberian immigrant and a Colorado State Representative for District 40. She joins us now from Aurora, Colorado. Good morning to you, Nequita.
Thank you, James. Good morning and happy 4th of July to you.
Well, thank you very much. What are you doing for celebrating July 4th?
July 4th is a day that we celebrate, of course, our Independence Day. And as a state representative, I'm sending out greetings and just looking forward to the day, probably getting together with my family members, and we're going to be doing some barbecues, picnics, and then probably fireworks tonight.
What does it mean when you hear the word July 4th?
I think July 4th for me, of course, is about the Independence Day and the birthday of America, this great country that we all live in. And I also remember that, it's an honor and a privilege to be serving my community as a new American. But I think we all enjoy the freedoms that America offers. And I also, think about, where I'm from and where I'm at now and, the freedoms that were fought for here through the American Revolution, which was protracted, they were fighting against colonial rule and set up this great country. But then I also think about Liberia, where I'm from, right? And also the African Americans were fleeing slavery and the slave masters and looking to be emancipated and setting up a land of liberty. So I think about those similarities between the United States of America and also, Liberia, where I'm from.
Very interesting. You brought the Liberia angle. July is also an important month for Liberia because I think instead of July 4th, Liberians celebrate July 26th. Could you tell us more about that?
So July 26th is Liberia's Independence Day, and Liberia is a small country in West Africa, of course, that was founded by African Americans who were seeking liberty and emancipation from their slave masters. They did not want to be under racism. They wanted to start a republic where they could be free, they could run a government that they could call their own. They also wanted equal rights and opportunities for all citizens, whereas, at the time, as a freed slave, you would not have had the rights and opportunities as white Americans did. So, I think about that and Liberia and the similarities between the two and the fact that Liberia was birthed out of America, you could say.
Here in Washington, where we are, besides the food, the barbecuing, the eating and cooking outdoor, there's also the idea of going to fireworks. What is it like where you are?
Yeah, and the fireworks, I think, symbolizes maybe the celebration, of course, but then all the lights, maybe the war that was fought, too. But the fireworks are going to be right in front of the state capitol here in Denver, Colorado. And we have a really beautiful view from the state capitol, and I probably will go there. Last year, I got to watch the fireworks with my family from the balcony, and that was such a really great privilege. I was there with other state representatives and some of their constituents, and even the governor was out there with his family. So it's really great. I think we celebrate the freedoms that America offers us, the liberties, the rights, and everything that this great country represents to all of us.
Nequita, thank you so much again, and happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you.
Nequita Ricks is a Liberian immigrant and a Colorado State Representative for District 40. She was speaking with us from Aurora, Colorado. And that's it for this Tuesday, July 4th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your morning with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I am James Butte in Washington, wishing that you will have an amazing Tuesday.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the U.S. Supreme Court strikes down affirmative action programs for university admissions in the United States. Will those affected turn to the country's historically black colleges and universities? This week, we'll look at HBCUs, how they're breaking new ground and building new bridges between the United States and African countries. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next